Good evening, everyone. This is Dave Manchester, Chairman of the Chemung County Legislature. The time is now 7 p.m. on Monday, December 7th, 2020. The legislature is convened for a meeting of the Budget Committee. We are conducting this meeting via audio recorded teleconference, which is authorized under the governor's executive order issued from New York State COVID-19 emergency. On December 3rd, 2020, the governor issued Executive Order 202.79, which extended the exceptions to the open meeting law through January 1st, 2021 as follows. Quote, to the extent necessary to permit any public body to meet and take such actions authorized by the law without permitting in public, in-person access to meetings and authorizing such meetings to be held remotely by conference call or similar service provided the meetings are recorded and made available to the public. Due to the recent increase in COVID-19 positive cases throughout Chemung County, the legislature's reopening plan has been modified and public access to all meetings of the legislature will be temporarily restricted. This meeting is being broadcast live on the county's internet website. Also, a recording will be placed on the website for the public's access at any time. I'd like to remind those that are participating online or via audio to please keep your phones and iPads on mute unless you're speaking, and proceed any questions or comments with your name so we know who is speaking. I'm present at the Hazlett Building with the clerk, the deputy clerk of the legislature, the attorney for the legislature, and several legislators. At this time, I'll ask the clerk to take a roll call of all members of the legislature. The clerk, roll please.
Mr. Patrick?
Here.
Mr. Sweet? Brennan?
Here.
Mr. Margeson?
Here.
Mr. Hyland?
Here.
Sunfire?
Here.
Mr. Woodard?
Here.
Mr. Buren?
Here.
Mr. Chalk?
Here.
Mr. Briggs?
Here.
Mr. McCarthy?
Here.
Mr. Drake?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Strange?
Here.
Mr. Manchester.
Here. Having confirmed the attendance of all members of the legislature, I deem a quorum present for the Budget Committee meeting. At this time, I'd ask if there are any other county employees on the line who haven't been identified who may be participating in this meeting. Any county employees on the line, please identify yourself.
Steve Hoover.
Thank you, Mr. Hoover.
Jennifer Furman.
Thank you, Ms. Furman.
Chris Moss.
Thank you, Mr. Moss. Any other county employees? Okay. At this time, I'll call the Budget Committee meeting to order. Under communications, you'll notice that we have under new business a presentation by the county executive. I'd like to move that into the beginning. Just a little background. You all have received some communication regarding a cancellation of the intermunicipal agreement with the city. That's effective the end of this month. There has been some root slips going back and forth. There's been three drafts and modifications. There's still modifications to come. To make this a little bit more clear, the county executive offered to come and attend our meeting, and he does have some updates for us. I would like to remind you that part of this the equation and all this takes place also in our budget, which we're going to address later this evening. Section 204 of the budget says that if there are vacancies that are not funded, they become abolished. So that weighs into some of what we're going to hear tonight. So at this time, before I turn it over to Mr. Moss, I would like to ask, if there's questions that come up, would you prefer them as we go along, or would you prefer that we save them all to the end? Which would work better for you?
Whatever your preference, Mr. Chairman.
You're making the presentation. It may make a little bit more sense if the folks could ask the questions of you at the time. were on the topic. It may be a little cumbersome with those that call in, so we'll give it a try. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. I'll turn this over to Mr. Moss at this time.
Okay, I want to thank the chairman and thank the legislature for the opportunity to address you in reference to this particular shared services agreement. For those of you that aren't familiar, this is the shared service agreement with the Buildings and Grounds Departments between the City of Elmira and the County of Chemung. The agreement was effective as of January 1st, 2016. This agreement, like many of the other shared services agreements that we enter into, has an exit clause, which basically indicates that if either side doesn't feel that the agreement is worth to continue to pursue, that with a six-month warning notice to the other side that you can get out of the agreement. You know, we talked about, and I've addressed the legislature before, on the differences between the two buildings and grounds departments for the county and the city. And maybe 5 or 6 years ago when they decided, or whoever decided to enter into this agreement, it might have been worthy at that time. But at this particular juncture, after speaking with my superintendent of buildings and grounds and reviewing what each side does, I felt it was probably in the best interest of the taxpayers of Chemung County that we separate the two departments and return the buildings and grounds employees that were transferred to the county back over to the city. So on June 29th, the county attorney sent a letter to the Honorable Mike Collins and Honorable Dan Mandel in reference to us going ahead to exercise our right to terminate the agreement. What you have to understand, and those of you who were on the legislature prior to January 1st of 2019, it's not simply turning these employees back over to the city. Civil service was involved and a transfer of function took place. So what that means is these 13 positions that we're talking about are county positions. And if the city refuses to take the 13 positions back, and won't accept the transfer of function back to the city, then the county is stuck with the employees. It's that simple. The city does have that choice. Now, that would mean that they wouldn't have a way to perform duties and responsibilities pertaining to their own buildings and grounds department, but they could simply say, Chemung County, you took them, they're yours, you keep them, you figure out how to pay for them. Now, they haven't done that. They've been very cooperative. I've had the opportunity to meet with the city manager and the mayor on multiple occasions and discussed how we could make this work so that it's not a financial strain to the city. So the proposal that I came up with was that the city would agree to the transfer of function of these 13 specific positions would go back to the city. And in return for that, the county would assume 66% of the payroll for 2021, 33% for 2022, and then the city would assume the entire payroll as of January 1st of 2023. You have to keep in mind that the city is also assuming the fringe rate as of January 1st of 2021. I mean, so what we're looking at here, in 2021, the county would be removing $238,000 in salary, $379,000 in fringe. In 2022, $474,000, and another $379,000 in fringe. And then in 2023, we've relieved our budget of over $1 million of salary and fringe by turning these employees back over to the city. I realize there's been some questions as to why we would commit to, or why I would commit to 66% in 21 and 33 in 22. But the fact of the matter is the previous agreements, which were negotiated by some legislature still there today, were structured in the same manner. And the plan always had financial aspects of the MOA that took place when employees were being transferred back and forth. So if the legislature should decide and say, you know what, we're not going to pay the 66 and 33, and the city says, well, then you keep the employees, that means we have to lay off 13 individuals because they weren't budgeted in the 2021 operating plan. Furthermore, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the 13 employees from the city of Elmira. Civil service rules would dictate who gets laid off. So if there are senior employees from the city of Elmira, buildings and grounds departments that share titles that the county has, whoever has more seniority would stay, and the person with least seniority would be laid off. We've already, the city has already agreed to the transfer of function. It was signed by the city manager and by Donnie Bishop. It outlines the titles of the positions as well as the names. I forwarded that paperwork to you earlier this afternoon. So basically, that's kind of where we are at right now. You have to look at this agreement. A microcosm of this agreement would be what we did with the town of Elmira. The city or the county took over the function of highway superintendent from the town of Elmira. So the town of Elmira can no longer have that title unless we transfer the function and the title back to the town of Elmira. The town of Elmira decided to keep Matt Mustico on the county payroll. We told the town of Elmira, since he was assuming 50% duties in the town of Elmira, that they have to pay 50% of his salary. We didn't make them do that all at once. We let them do it 40%, 45%, and 50%. So I just think attempting to tell the city that we're going to transfer $1 million in salary and fringe over to their budget in one fell swoop, I don't think that's the right thing to do. That's not the way that we took them when we took them to the county side. So I'd be more than happy to answer questions. I know it's a little bit more confusing than simply saying, okay, city, here's your 13 people back, deal with it. That's not the way the original MOA was constructed in January of 2016. So it's a little bit more complicated than simply giving them their employees back and telling them, you know, but it's their problem.
Are there any questions? Mr. Smith?
Yeah, this is Joe Brett. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yep. Okay, Joe, you're next.
Yeah. Mr. Moss, are there any no layoff clauses in effect in the collective bargaining agreements that we have?
There are layoff clauses in effect in the CSEA collective bargaining agreement, in which these employees would fall under, and we have to follow those guidelines, yes.
So there are no layoff clauses in effect?
There are clauses pertaining to layoffs and how they work within the CSEA, and we have to follow those. Am I answering it correctly?
But they're not specifically no layoff clauses that says we cannot lay people off.
I believe it says, hang on, I have that section here. Mike, are you looking at the actual description of consolidated, the original 2016 agreement?
No, I was just concerned about whether or not there were any clauses in the present collective bargaining agreement that these people are working under that prohibits us from laying them off. I think there are rules within the FDA about equal positions and that sort of thing. And I guess that would be a follow-up question about whether there are, in fact, any shared titles from the people who are in this list of employees that would be transferred back.
There are four shared titles. And three of them have more seniority than the county employees. The language within the January 2016 original MOA indicates that the layoffs would be governed by the CSEA language in the county contract.
Okay, so that doesn't prohibit layoffs. It only says that you've got to follow a process of seniority.
Correct. It says you have to follow the process in New York State civil service law. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Brennan, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Mr. County Executive, for joining us tonight. I was wondering how this proposed change impacts the overall amount of money that the city owes the county and the negotiations going forward for the million plus that they still owe.
So how it would work is there's an outstanding debt the city owes the county of approximately $1.3 million. So the 66% that the county would pay in 2021, which equates to approximately $474,000, would come off of that 1.3, And then the 238 would also come off that 1.3. And the city also has a $250,000 payment due by February 21st of 2001. So it looks like after all is said and done, they take the employees back. And as opposed to us paying the 66%, we take that off the debt that they owe us. It looks like there'd be an outstanding balance of approximately $907,000 to be payable
we'll
sometime.
Still be paying...
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay, so we'll be paying additional money after we've canceled the agreement, and the money that we'll be paying the city is going to be coming off from their debt to us?
No, so for instance, I've offered them we'd pay 66% in 2021. So that is us paying 66% of the salary, as opposed to right now we're paying 100% of the salary. That amount comes to $474,000. We're not going to pay that to the city. We're actually going to take it off that $1.3 million that they owe us in outstanding debt. So, yes, okay. I guess you could say it works like that. But remember, we'll be paying 66% in 2021 as opposed to 100% in 2021. And in 2022, we'll be paying 33% as opposed to 100%. And you also have to keep in mind that when this agreement was entered into, we reduced the amount of sales tax revenue that the city was receiving. The city's not getting any sales tax revenue back with this deal. So in the long end, the city's not coming out on top. I think what we're doing is extending a courtesy to let them pay over time and asking them to voluntarily transfer the function of buildings and grounds back to their municipality.
Okay. So as a part of this agreement, is there any meeting of the minds on when the remainder of the balance due to the county would be repaid?
It just says the deal would have to be negotiated no later. Let's see, the city and the county agreed to negotiate payment schedule for the remaining $907,000 in the year 2023. So there haven't been any firm talks other than that. No, sir.
Okay. That scares me.
Well, I mean, there's also a section there that says if no agreement for repayment of the deferred $907,000 is duly approved and signed by November 1st of 2023, the full amount will be due no later than February 28th, 2024.
All right. Thank you.
So, I mean, there is language in there, Joe, that indicates that a payment structure would have to be set up with an end date. Otherwise, the entire amount would be due.
Well, forgive my skepticism, but I feel as though this is just a part of a running tab that we have had and will continue to have with the city for a very long time.
That many legislators who currently still sit there approved originally.
I don't disagree with that. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Sweet.
Thank you. Moss, thanks for... for coming. Do you hear me okay? Can you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So is it true that if you add the obligation that the city has towards the county, it comes to $1,620,219?
I'm not sure you get the 1.6. So I'm looking at 1.3 million that they'll be obligated to pay the county at the end of 2021. So I guess you're adding that 250 maybe.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, is that included in the 1.3?
No, it is not.
So if you would.
Yes, it would be. It'd be 1.6, but then obviously you have to subtract that 474 and that 238, and that's how you come up with the 907.
So, I'm probably repeating Mr. Brennan's question, but so I can understand it, please bear with me. So the city owes the county 1.6. Is that correct?
Well, not unless we agree to this 66 and 33, it'd be 1.3.
Okay, I'm just going by paragraph. So,
okay.
Okay, so paragraph, little I, or I guess it is. So then, that's what the city owes the county. But then in paragraph II, the county's going to pay them the first year $474,000.
That equates to 66%, but there's not going to be any payment. It simply would be, I think, right below that, it would simply be deducted from the 1.3 or the 1.6 if you add the 250, whichever you prefer. So basically, right now, we're paying buildings and grounds 100% we pay. As opposed to paying 100%, we're going to pay 66. In the following year, we're only going to pay 33. And then in the final year, we don't pay anything. The city has absorbed the entire cost back into their budget. So yes, we are paying, but that's like nobody was questioning when we were paying 100%. And with fringe, that was over $1 million. So now we've got it down to 474 for next year and 238 for the following year. So yes, we are paying them, or we're offsetting that money from their debt. But if you look at it under the fact that we were paying 100%, now we're only going to pay 66 and the following year 33. Those are the savings I look at to be able to, you know, for us to transfer those functions back to the city. And at the end of the day, that's 13 less FTEs for the county and $1 million saving to payroll and fringe.
And as one of the legislators that voted on that back in 2015, the spirit of this was to help the city out their financial situation. And so it was nothing that we're, you know, wanted to take over. It's just that the city, if I'm not correct, and I'll yield to Mr. Buren being maybe in that era, it was to help the city out. Wasn't that correct, Mr. Buren?
I was retired. Oh, okay.
I would just add, though, I would keep in mind that the city got a lower percentage of the sales tax revenue involving this. The county also got a grant from the state as a shared services initiative. So yes, it helped the city, but it also benefited the county as well.
Hey, real quick, I'm getting text messages that people that watch the live streaming aren't able to hear the people on the phone. And then I able to hear Executive Moss, just so you know, on the live stream. So I don't know if the volume sound or what. Just so you know.
Okay, well, we'll crank it up a little bit. Thanks for that feedback. Okay. Mr. Sweet, did you have more?
That's right up for right now.
All right. Mr. Margeson, did you have your hand up, or are we just passing that along? Yeah. Okay, Mr. Buren, then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess a piece that hasn't been discussed with any of this happened in 2018 when the sales tax agreement was put into place. And at that time, the money for these shared services was deferred forward. And in return for that, we have to keep in mind that at the time, using the numbers that were available for the projections, the towns and villages received an extra $1 million over that two-year period. And so the city, it was projected to lose $172,000 per year, which they most likely did with the change. I don't know the actual numbers because I don't know because of the sales tax. But with that, the municipalities, and I've got it here, one place. Bear with me just one second. Here it is. So over the two-year period, $340,000 projected come away from the city into the municipality, of which town of Iglesias plus $45,000 of the money as a result of the new sales tax formula. Town of Horsham, $113,672. $63,822. You go on, you go to each one, you add them up, and it comes to the amount of money that was readjusted from the city to the towns and villages. So this is a, you know, what the county executive is trying to do here is to stop the bleeding with the county, paying 100% of these costs. This was an attempt 2 years ago in 2018 to help that cause. It didn't work. The money did go to the towns and villages. It did not go to the city. And so now this is the final piece of what the county executive is now saying, hey, let's put the brakes on this thing and move forward. And if we wanted to just simply give it back to the city, all in one fell swoop, I think we're going to have other issues coming before this legislature, because the county seat is going to be a big problem. That I do know. And this is a way of easing it back in, getting it off our plate, giving it back to the city. Quite frankly, I think they did a good job trying to work this out. Maybe I'm biased, but if we're going to be talking about this, we need to understand all of the facts. It wasn't just, this isn't a giveaway to the city. It's costing the county $1 million a year. And as the county executive said, rather than $1 million, it's 474, it's 232, whatever it is, and then zero. Cut your loss. Thank you.
Any other questions? Let me check. Any other questions before I return to Mr. Smith? Okay, Mr. Smith.
When the sales tax formula was adjusted in 2018, so that's the payments that you're talking about from the city are for 2018, 2019, and 2020 projected.
That's correct, Mike. And so in 2020, that same formula that shifted the money to the town is still in effect for another year and a half of that. Now, what those numbers are going to be, none of us know, because we don't know what sales tax is going to be.
Thank you.
Mr. Moss, if I could, please.
Yes, sir.
We are taking up the budget here as our next agenda item. And if I remember right, we're pulling $2.8 million out of fund balance to make the 2021 budget whole. How does this agreement impact that? If we did not have this agreement, what would our fund balance contribution be?
Well, I guess if we don't have, I mean, if we don't have this agreement, we're going to have to lay off 13 people. So I guess because we haven't budgeted in 2021, so I don't think it would affect it at all. Just be 13 people getting pink slips, you know, via civil service, however it needs to be done. I wouldn't see, unless you decided to keep 13 people, and then it's going to be a $1.1 million addition to the budget. I believe we probably budgeted, even if you look at the 66% we're paying, that's actually coming off the city's debt. So it's not going to be a direct payment from the county to the city. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. If the city refuses to take them back, they're ours and we have to come up with a solution. If the legislature fails to vote to take them, to transfer the function back to the city, I think we're in the same boat. We have 13 employees, wherever they fall amongst seniority and title, we'll have to deal with whether you want to utilize fund balance or utilize layoffs.
Okay. Any other questions on this? Mr. Chong.
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. So this has always been a fluid situation with the towns and villages and the city. And we have, as a legislature, always tried to respond and react and do what we could. If you recall, a couple years ago, the city had a 17% tax increase, which really raised tax. situation as it exists currently, I believe that the county executive has attempted to address this situation and try to be as fair as possible with all involved. But I agree with Mr. Guerin. We've got to be careful. You know, a number of our businesses are in the city, within the city limits, and I just think we need to be careful going forward that we do what we can to help the city and also be aware of all the villages and towns. Thank you.
With that, I will pass along that the villages, some of the towns, town of Southport is raising their taxes 21%. The town of Elmira is raising theirs 32%. So they are feeling some of this too. So, and they're not getting, they're getting some benefit from Mr. Buren's numbers, but they are feeling this effect too. Mr. Buren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have 20%, 30%, whatever, do you have the actual dollar amount and what that means to the tax rate for those municipalities?
Dollar amount, no. No, I know that Big Flats and Horseheads were raising it the 2% that they were allowed, but the percentage-wise for Southport and town of Elmira is fairly large. Dollar amount, I don't know.
Because the percentage is a large number, the dollar amount could be something quite different.
Certainly, I'm just referring back to the 17% that the county or that the city had too. So. There are some large numbers out there this year. Mr. Sweet?
Thank you. Mr. Buren, you said something in your comments. You know, this is the county seat. And again, when this was arranged, there's a lot of things that the county did with the city arranges, keeping in mind that, yes, this is the county seat. And no one on the legislature at that time wanted to see the city fail. I don't believe there's anybody here who wants to see the city fail today. I certainly don't want to see the city fail. So, and referring back to Mr. Brennan, we've been going along here for a number of years now, just going and going and going. And I don't know what the answer is, but I don't see any improvement. And I'm not suggesting anything that the city should do, because I'm not in the city's place, but on the other hand, we got to protect the county also. So it wasn't in good spirit, you know, when we did this to help women. Again, I don't want to see the city fail by any means, but something's got to be done, but I don't know what that answer is.
If I may respond.
Mr. Buren, sure.
Thank you. And I don't think anyone here wants to see the city fail. I do believe that, and thank you for your comments. But the reality is, when these agreements were put together, at that time, it's just like today, it's very difficult to pick up the newspaper or go online and look at the news and not see an article about COVID. Well, back then, you picked up the newspaper or went online, and all you saw was shared services, shared services. The governor was pushing shared services. There was money for the municipalities to join the shared services and so on. And so the agreements were put together in good faith. There's no doubt about that. But I think they were put together a little bit too quickly. And when I was on my way out, we were having conversations at the time about DPW, okay? And I had gone before anything happened with DPW, but I remember specifically saying, well, what about this or what about that? And the answer was always, you can't dot every I across every T. We'll deal with that when we have to. And that, as far as I'm concerned, that's a poor business plan. And I think that these agreements, some of these agreements, were poor business plans, and they've come back to bite us. And I think if we're at the point now, we have to end it. jumped on board, and it didn't work. It's very obvious it did not work. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Smith?
Well, further to that, money that the governor pushed for these shared service agreements, is there any potential financial liability where we might have to give some money back to the state, where we maybe didn't have this shared service agreement in effect for a long enough period of time? Or what were the criteria at that time about the governance of these shared service agreements that got you the money? I'd hate to go down this road and then find out that we owe the state a refund because we didn't live up to our end of this. Has that been investigated at all, Mr. Moss?
No, sir, not that I'm aware of.
Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the design of shared services is to take the economy of scale and save money and do a better job. And as my colleague here, Mr. Buren, alluded to, these were plans put together to probably give state money to help everyone out. The plan was never executed in the proper format. Like a number of these things, like the pilot programs that have been instituted over the years, you know, have all those pilot programs, and they stood up to the end of their bargain, and they hired a number of people, and they met all the obligations. A lot of things in government, you know, they start out saying that they're going to do certain things, and they never do. So the idea behind shared services is to not only utilize the area of expertise of both sides, it's to save money, consolidate, and create a plan. And obviously that hasn't happened, and that's why we're sitting in this position now. And we do have to stop, but we do have to do it in a professional and amiable way. And I do understand the towns and villages outside looking in, but I'm not so sure they understand, as Mr. Jern said, about the tax relief that they were given. And so I just think we need to look at it intelligently and right the wrong and get it fixed and move on. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to add, if I could, you know, a lot of times when I talk to the town supervisors, village mayors, you know, everybody wants to talk about the past. I try and get them to focus on the future. I mean, there's no sense of going back and forth and why we approved something in 2014 and 2016. We really need to look to the future to help each other. This isn't a huge benefit to the city of Elmira. Nobody wants to see a tax increase. I mean, Southport's 21% tax increase equates to 34 cents. Per thousand. I mean, that's really pennies on the dollar. Nobody wants to see it, but that's what it equates to. And other municipalities are going to have tax increases. I spoke to them about that when we talked about the redistribution formula for sales tax for 2021 and 22. So, I mean, it's tough. We could go, the municipalities could go back and forth all day, but I think we just need to move forward in a positive manner to make sure that every municipality in Chemung County is successful.
And follow up with Mr. Sweet.
So I didn't read down far enough when I was just talking to Mr. Moss. The triple I there, the county agreed for the $250,000. Can't afford $250,000.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I didn't hear his question.
I'm sorry. Is that any better?
There you go. Yep.
I'm sorry. On the triple I there, the county agrees to defer the $250,000 payment from the city.
Yes.
The city can't afford that.
Well, here's what happened was when we first switched this from the city to the county, fringe was included. Fringe is not included when we switch it back. So when we're talking about 66%, that's straight salary. The city has to pick up that 54% fringe immediately as of January 1st, 2021. The county won't be paying any of that fringe rate. So when you looked at the fringe rate, I believe it is $379,000 a year based on our current, I think it's around 53, 54%. So with them having to pay that additional $379, I thought it was only fair to let them go ahead and take that $250, add it to that 657. That's where we come up with the 907 and then come up with a payment schedule, you know, no later than 2023.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Not related to the buildings and grounds, but what about the DPW? What's the future look like for that? Is that something we've got to be concerned about in the next budget? You know, when I'm talking 2022?
Well, what we're going to, obviously we wanted to work on that this year, but with COVID we couldn't. The plans for that is I think a countywide DPW can work and will work, but we do need to reorganize and amend the current agreement with the city so that we have one solely functioning DPW for the entire county. I mean, that's going to, and that means we should be located at one spot instead of a south shop and a north shop. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be done, but I've talked to Andy Avery and let him know the direction we want to go. Are we looking to dissect the agreement and turn it back over to the city? No. I want to see us countywide DPW work, and we'll make it work, and that'll be one of the things that we are working on in 2021.
Good.
So, what Mr. Smith said, or asked really about, is there any consequences from the state? Should they be looked at before this is voted on by the full legislature?
I'll have the county attorney look it up tomorrow. I can tell you for the shared services initiatives that my administration has been involved in, some of them are 24 and 36 months. I'm not sure exactly if this agreement or DPW falls under one, but I will definitely have the county attorney look into it and share it with the legislative attorney.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments?
I was just going to say thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Moss. We will be communicating and going forward on this in one fashion or another.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Moving on to resolutions, motions, and notices. If there's no objections, I'd like to combine resolution 3 along with 8-21. 3 and then 8 through 21. Combine resolutions 4 and 5. Combine resolutions 6 and 7. Combine resolutions 23 and 24. Any objections from the budget committee on that? Okay. Proceed. Resolution 1, resolution adopting and referring the 2021 Chemung County budget to the Chemung County Executive. It excludes the Sewer District Number 1 and the Chemung County Elmira Sewer District budgets. Is there a motion, please? Mr. Chalk, is there a second? Mr. Buren. All right, questions or comments? Mr. Buren?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion for an amendment. I don't know if this is where I do it, or is it when we go to the agenda with resolution 20-467?
I'm sorry, 20-467?
Yeah, it's in our regular meeting.
Oh, the full meeting?
Yeah.
You can make the amendment proposal here.
Oh, okay. Because
right, you're on the budget committee.
Okay. Thank you. I would like to make a motion to amend Exhibit A, number 2, to read eliminate legislature community development fund discretionary expenditures and thereby deleting executive and $75,000. And then also amendment number 3, which is to decrease the contingency account to include the $75,000 that were deleting from the executive line. So the total decrease would be 106,497.
I believe I understand that. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that, Legislator Strange.
Mr. Strange, okay. Are there questions or comments on the proposed amendment? Mr. Smith?
Could we get some notion of the thinking about time? Yes, sir. And looking at the budget, and it's section 6, page 124, where it sets forth the community development fund, Casella Community Development Fund. There are actually two line items there. One is Casella Community Development, County Executive, $75,000, and Casella Community Development Legislature, $75,000. We had included the County Executive, $75,000, in the original, and my amendment just moved that out.
Mr. Smith?
So you're saying that you want the County Executive to maintain the $75,000 discretionary fund?
That's correct.
Questions or comments? Okay, we're going to... yes, Mr. Smith?
I don't necessarily support that. I think that the interests of the good that those organizations do that we wanted to refund or to fully fund, I think that the County Executive could forego a year of his discretionary monies. I think certainly from the perspective of an individual legislature, the $3,300 was very nice, but in the whole scheme of things, it's far more beneficial to the county as a whole that these organizations be funded. I would think that the County Executive could join us in that spirit of the good that that provides. Thank you.
Mr. Margeson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't agree with even returning the funding to the organization that had a decrease. And quite honestly, I think that, as I said before, times have changed. And if we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect something different to happen, it's not going to happen. I think we're going to get questions on why are we going to provide additional funding for four organizations and the other six or seven aren't going to get theirs restored. So I'm going to vote no on restoring any of the funding because I think it's proper that in this day and age with the COVID, everything going on, everybody needs to learn how to buckle their boots and strap it up. There's a lot of small businesses hurting around here, and I just think everybody needs to take a little bit of a haircut, and that's my own opinion, so I'm going to vote no anyways. Thank you.
Well, just to clarify, the amendment is for the $75,000. Okay. All right. Mr. Sweet?
These four organizations that we thought we would fully fund provide a vast amount of benefit to the whole county than that $3,300 that each individual legislator and can give to their district. As I've stated a number of times, the amount of money going to FTC is not to be in question because that is a binding pact between three counties. And you just can't pull partial of that away from the other two counties. That can't be done. If you want to do that, you got to give them 6 months notice. That hasn't happened. Soil and water, my goodness gracious, the amount of benefit that you get from that, as was stated by Mr. Smith, you give them a dollar, they'll turn it into 10. And that's the true fact. From the compost pile that the county is using to taking care of the dams to when there's a flood of and the creeks going repaired, you can't get that from a better organization than what that is. Stormwater is very important because if you want projects involving private money, you've got to have the stormwater studies and the planning. And then cooperative extension, as Mr. Strange has alluded to, they provide a numerous amount of contract services for the county that, again, is done cheaper than what the county can do it. So to not do that, not to fund these four organizations, I don't understand that. And then getting back to the $75,000, tell me, Mr. Bjorn, your amendment doesn't, I'm not going to say that, by the way. Does your amendment deplete those four of the $75,000, or are you getting it from someplace else? Help me with that, because I don't understand that.
It does not deplete them. I'm saying to increase the amount of contingency that we're using and to replenish the $75,000 that was line item for the county expenses.
So you're taking it out of contingency?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. But keep in mind that the only body of the county government that can spend money is the legislature.
Understood. I understand this is sensitive, but the budget was drawn with 75-75. I did not realize that earlier. I did pick up on it after we had our initial discussion. I don't have any problem funding those organizations for the reasons that Mr. Smith and yourself have spoken about. I agree 100% with that. But the county executive's budget reduced it, the funding to those organizations, and the line item for the county executives that we're doing originally put the fact that it was totally against the spirit of the initial budget drawn by the county executives. And I'm saying, leave it alone, take it out of the city.
My only comment is that a while back, I had a conversation with the county executive about this, and the reason for the split 75-75 was is that he felt that the 15 legislators covered the county 15 different ways, so that's where half the money should go. The county executive, because he does represent the whole county, felt that he should have the $75,000. In the spirit of these organizations benefiting the whole county, I was pleased to see that we were both in this together, 75 from the legislators and 75 from the county executive. So that's my comments on the split.
This is Legislator Sunsire.
Yes.
Just a question for Legislator Buren, and I apologize if you address this. It's time just a little bit hard to hear. Have you, or to the best of your knowledge, anyone else had conversations with County Executive Moss to see if he objects to us using the $75,000 that would be allocated to him to reestablish the organizational funding?
I will answer that I have not had any feedback. You asked Mr. Buren, and he is going to answer that at this time.
Yes, I had a conversation today with the county executive on various topics, and one of which was the amendments to the budget, and I told him at that time what I was, the amendment that I was thinking of moving forward to the floor. I did not speak with him about his feelings prior to that conversation today. And I just did that on my own just because of the way the budget was written and the line item that was in there. I just didn't, personally, I didn't feel that we should take the full 150 the way the budget was laid out. There was 75 from the legislature. I had no problem missing the 75. and taking the other funds out of contingency.
Well, if I can just add a comment, having observed County Executive Moss now for 2 years, uh-huh. he clearly has a commitment to fiscal conservatism uh-huh. and has tried his best to limit the amount of contingency spending. And it just seems a bit presumptuous to assume that he would rather we take the money from contingency rather than give him this small amount of money to use as he will. I mean, I honestly don't know where he would come down on it. I don't know if any of us could really make that guess with any kind of accuracy.
Mr. Buren has, I believe, an answer.
I will just simply say he did not object to the amendment that I was going to propose.
Any other questions? Comments? All right. At this time, the Budget Committee is voting on the amendment as proposed and seconded to fund the community or the organizational funding in total at $181,497 with $75,000 to come from the community development funds of the legislature's line item, the remainder to become to come out of contingency. That is what we're voting on. With no further questions, would the clerk call the roll of the Budget Committee on this amendment?
Mr. Brennan?
No.
Mr. Margeson?
No.
Mr. Buren?
Yes.
Mr. Chalk?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye.
Mr. Strange?
Aye.
Mr. Manchester?
No. The motion is carried. The amendment will stand in the budget resolution. At this time, we are back to the resolution number one, adopting and referring the 2021 budget as amended to the county executive. Are there any questions or comments on the adoption? Okay. Procedurally now, we will call the roll on resolution one, adopting and referring the 2021 budget as amended. Would the clerk call the roll?
Mr. Brennan?
No.
Mr. Margeson?
No.
Mr. Buren?
Aye.
Mr. Chalk?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye.
Mr. Strange?
Aye.
Manchester?
No. The resolution is adopted. Resolution two, resolution adopting and referring the 2021 Chemung County Sewer District number one and the Chemung County Amara City Sewer District budgets to the county executive. Is there a motion, please? Mr. Margeson, seconded by Mr. Buren. Questions and comments on resolution two? Hearing none, would the clerk call the roll?
Mr. Brennan?
Aye.
Mr. Margeson?
Aye.
Mr. Buren?
Aye.
Mr. Chalk?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye.
Mr. Strange?
Aye.
Mr. Manchester?
Aye. The resolution is carried. Resolutions 3 and 8 through 21. Resolution 3, resolution designating salaries of the county legislature for 2021. Number 8, resolution designating the official newspapers. Number 9, resolution authorizing apportionment of mortgage tax to various tax districts. Number 10, resolution canceling certain 2020 real property tax auction sales. Number 11, resolution making appropriations for the conduct of Chemung County government for fiscal year 2021. Number 12, resolution levying taxes and assessments for annual town budgets. Number 13, resolution apportioning of 2021 tax levy to several tax districts. Number 14, resolution authorizing the re-levying of delinquent village taxes. Number 15, resolution authorizing the re-levying of returned school taxes. Number 16, resolution authorizing the re-levying of unpaid sewer bills. Number 17, resolution authorizing the payment for charges for community colleges. Number 18, resolution authorizing correction of errors on tax rolls without prior audit by the county legislature. Number 19, resolution authorizing payment of tax refunds not to exceed the sum of $2,500 without prior audit by the county legislature. Number 20, resolution delegating the county treasurer of the County of Chemung, New York, the power to authorize from time to time during the fiscal year 2021, the issuance and sale of tax anticipation notes in said county in anticipation of the collection of real estate taxes levied or to be levied in fiscal year 2021. And resolution number 21, resolution delegating the county treasurer of the County of New York, the power to authorize from time to time during the fiscal year 2021, the issuance and sale of revenue anticipation notes of said county in anticipation of the receipt of state and federal aid. Is there a motion, please? Mr. Margeson, is there a second? Mr. Chalk, thank you. Any questions and comments on those resolutions, number 3 and number 8 through 21? Mr. Buren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment, a request, actually. Could I get a copy of the apportionment of the 2021 tax levy in, the various districts or municipalities with the equalization rate current year and prior year? It's something that's done every year in the Real Property Tax Office. I would just like a copy of it.
And you're referencing which resolution?
It would be 13, I believe resolution 13.
Okay. Apportioning the 2021 tax levy to several tax districts?
Yes.
And you're looking for the shadow years either side?
Well, in a while, it's usually the prior year and the current year.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
I believe we can get that information.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions or comments on those resolutions? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Mr. Brennan?
Aye.
Margeson?
Aye.
Mr. Buren?
Aye.
Mr. Chalk?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye.
Mr. Strange?
Aye.
Mr. Manchester?
Aye. The resolutions are carried. Resolution number 4, resolution authorizing transfer and appropriations by the county executive, and number 5, resolution approving certain applications for and disbursements of community development funds. Is there a motion, please? Mr. Buren, is there a second? Mr. Chalk?
Brennan.
All right, thank you. Any questions or comments on these two resolutions, number 4, number 5? Hearing none, would the clerk call the roll, please?
Mr. Brennan?
Aye.
Mr. Margeson?
Aye.
Mr. Buren?
Aye.
Mr. Chalk?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye.
Mr. Strange?
Aye.
Mr. Manchester?
Aye. The resolutions are carried. Resolution 6 and 7. Resolution 6, resolution approving, pursuant to Section 268 of the county law, an increase and improvement of the facilities of the Chemung County Sewer District Number 1 and the Chemung County Elmira Sewer District in and for said county at a maximum estimated cost of $3,800,000. Number 4, resolution authorizing $3,800,000 bonds for the County of Chemung, New York to pay the cost of certain improvements for the Chemung County Sewer District Number 1 and the Chemung County Elmira Sewer District in and for said county. Is there a motion, please? Mr. Margeson, is there a second?
Strange.
Mr. Strange, thank you. Any questions or comments on these two resolutions, number six and number seven? Hearing none, would the clerk call the roll?
Mr. Brennan?
Aye.
Mr. Margeson?
Aye.
Mr. Buren?
Aye.
Mr. Chalk?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye.
Mr. Strange?
Aye.
Mr. Manchester?
Aye. The resolutions are carried. Resolution 22, resolution extending the sales tax agreement between the County of Chemung and the City of Elmira. This is the 10th amendment. Is there a motion, please? Mr. Chalk, is there a second? I see Mr. Margeson. All righty. Questions or comments on Resolution 22? Hearing none, would the clerk call the roll?
Mr. Brennan?
Aye.
Mr. Margeson?
Aye.
Mr. Buren?
Aye.
Mr. Chalk?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye.
Mr. Strange?
Aye.
Mr. Manchester?
Aye. The resolution is carried. Resolution 23 and 24. Number 23, resolution authorizing agreement with Verizon Wireless on behalf of the Chemung County Department of Central Services. And Resolution 24, authorizing extension of agreement with W.B. Mason on behalf of the Chemung County Central Services Department. Is there a motion, please? I've got Mr. Buren. Is there a second?
Strange.
Mr. Strange, thank you. Any questions on Resolutions 23, 24? Hearing none, would the clerk call the roll?
Mr. Brennan?
Aye.
Mr. Margeson?
Aye.
Mr. Buren?
Aye.
Mr. Chalk?
Aye.
Mr. McCarthy?
Aye.
Mr. Strange?
Aye.
Mr. Manchester?
Aye. The resolutions are carried. Any old business? Mr. Sweet?
Not being a member of the Budget Committee, may I ask something on old business?
Certainly.
Thank you. I called today the SBC to see if they gotten their check for the $8,500 thereabouts, and they have not seen the money yet. Now, this body has approved that in late November, early December of 19 with the budget, and then we voted on it again, and it was approved in September. Again, that money's got to be paid. And it's not there yet. What do we got to do to get our bill paid?
If I could answer, I had a communication with the budget director, Mr. Hoover, last week. We exchanged emails, and he did say that the request for payment went out to all of the organizational fundings that were approved in September. So you. Those should be seen paid in full.
Thank you.
Any other old business? Any new business? Before we adjourn, I got to set up the timetable here. We have to close this meeting, then we have to go into the special meeting of the full legislature to address the budgets. That is a separate call-in. Now, because we have an amendment, the clerk has to retype what we're going to get in front of the full legislature. So I would like to take, you need 10 minutes, 15 minutes? 10 minutes, so it's 8:20 right now, or 8:10. 8:20 will be our call-in time to start the special full legislature meeting to address the budgets. With that, can I ask for an adjournment of the Budget Committee? Mr. Chalk, seconded by Mr. Margeson. We are adjourned.